Welcome back all. I hope you're all having an excellent start to the week. And thank you, as ever, everyone, for getting in touch, sharing your thoughts and opinions. It's essential for this channel, and getting such often polarizing different opinions is what makes, in my eyes certainly, this such a fun, enjoyable and interesting weekly podcast to do. I'll give a little shout out and thank you to all of you who have purchased batch one of our book, The Lost Biker Stories. It completely sold out and we're really blown away by the response, and we're so appreciative of all of you for your support. Batch two is now currently being printed and we're picking this up from the printers on Christmas Eve. So we'll start shipping batch two out on the 26th or 7th of December. By the time this goes out, this episode, batch one, we will have started shipping it out. So that will be imminent. And we've been making by hand in Ipswich, England, these, our oilskin tool rolls, made from a British oilskin fabric. We've got these in stock and we'll make sure any of these purchased will ship out speedy delivery within 24 hours to give you the best possible opportunity of getting these comfortably before Christmas. To the Vogue 900. This is, again, carrying on with that mid-sized Chinese adventure bike. I didn't know this over in Spain from Harold. The Vogue 900 is the biggest selling adventure bike in Spain. My friend borrowed one from the importer for 2 weeks and he was very impressed. The depreciation on the BMW with all the spec of the Vogue would be more than the purchase price of the Vogue. Some of my friends with adventure bikes are now looking to buy these bikes. Kevin says, to buy the BMW F900 GS up to the equivalent of the Vogue 900 with all of the standard parts that you get with the Vogue, it would be about £17,500. That's compared to the Vogue's price of £9,000. Oh yeah, and you forgot about the built-in driving lights and 1080p front camera. Two now, where do these current issues with KTM going into administration, desperate restructuring of the business, where does this leave KTM? James shares this recent experience. Freddie, my son, bought a Yamaha last week and he was told that the dealership will no longer take any KTMs in part exchange. The future looks bleak for anyone owning a KTM. Why would anyone consider buying the 2025 models? This really leads on to warranties as well. I was sharing the KTM from last week saying it's excellent. £2,000 off list price now with 4 years warranty. And a lot of you jumped in saying, Freddie, come on, what are you talking about? 4 years warranty for a company that could go under. Well, it's meaningless then. Yeah, it's a fair point. Centauro. Does that mean anything to anyone? Centauro. This is from Blade Risky or Rixie. This is a bike I've never come across before. The fascinating thing about Moto Guzzis, there are so many models when I look through the classifieds that I've never heard of before, because Moto Guzzis never sell that well. And they've got so many of these niche models that come along for 1 or 2 years and then disappear and they just get lost to time. Everyone forgets about them. And this is one of them. Take a listen to this. Freddie, I visited in summer the Italian Motorcycle Museum in Rimini. I'm not joking, it was real bike porn to be there. There was a barn with used bikes, which are on sale. And I saw a bike that I cannot get out of my head. It was a Moto Guzzi Centauro from 2002. The price was okay, low mileage, but I already own three bikes. Can buy more. My wife will probably or may kill me if I did buy one. It's an enigma. Moto Guzzi Centauro, built from 1996 to 2001, although I've seen some slightly different dates around that. MCN give it a rating of 2 out of 5 stars. It's got 95 horsepower, weighs 205 kilos, and it's got what I'm sure will be a glorious 1000cc V-twin engine. I like this from MCN, just to summarize the bike. Centaur, which is half man, half horse. Interesting concept. Although some might say the Guzzi V10 Centauro was half motorbike, half shire horse. In practice, the Centauro handled poorly, rode a bit harsh, and the oddly shaped saddle left the rider feeling perched on an upturned canoe. It just looked downright weird. Created as a naked sports bike, which I guess we would probably say as a super naked in today's terms. It was expensive but well engineered, and being a gutsy, it wasn't a good seller. Only 1,900 of these bikes were ever made. So what does that mean? Italian, rare, and made of high quality parts. That can only mean one thing. This is going to be a highly, highly desirable bike. I took a look at these in the classifieds in the UK. My lord, they're vanishingly rare. I only found one, which someone had created a hybrid of a Moto Guzzi Daytona, again a bike I haven't heard of, and a Moto Guzzi Centauro. But I want to find an original, unmolested one. And there just weren't any in the UK, that's how rare they are. As is often the case, you're going to find these in mainland Europe. But in the whole of Europe, from what I can see, I've only been able to find 38 in the whole of Europe. There's one that really caught my eye in Germany. Germany's always an excellent place to look for vehicles because they're petrol heads, they usually look after them very well, and it's got such a relatively big population, there'll always be a good amount of each model of bike. This is lovely. All in black, excellent condition, 36,000 or 34,000 kilometers. I can't figure out the year of it, but if you're looking at one of these bikes, this, I would say, is the one to go for. I think it's aged brilliantly well. I mean, that is such a unique looking thing. Bikes like this, there aren't many other companies that just do bikes like Moto Guzzi do them. Moto Guzzi really is the two-wheeled version of Alfa Romeo. They'll never be big sellers, but I'm just so delighted they exist because the stuff they do, you can tell it's built, it's made, it's thought up with so much love and madness and passion. It doesn't even matter when a bike gets to about this age if it really is the first word in dynamism, because you just buy bikes like this for the way they look and the character. And from those two points there, looking at this bike, that's all you need. 5,000 euros. You know, even if you ride it back to the UK, for example, you pay 30% duties to get it back into the UK, probably £5,500 sterling, £6,000 sterling, and you've got that bike back at home in the UK, and you've done all of the paperwork, so it's yours, legit UK bike. I love it. Carrying on with an Italian theme. This is heartbreaking, really. The Stella Alpina Rally. It's no more. This is from Martin. Freddie, I hope you do the Stella Alpina Rally next July. The unofficial, remember that, the unofficial Stella Alpina will be just like the original. I looked at this, I thought, Martin, what do you mean with that? So I went on to Stella Alpina, the official rally site, and at the top of the website it says this: the Stella Alpina Moto Ciclista Internazionale is currently consigned to history. Continuing, the Stella Alpina Rally, officially named the Stella Alpina Moto Ciclista Internazionale, was an annual meet and trail ride up the Col de Somelia in Bardonecchia, Italy, Bardonecchia, Italy. It offered the highest possible off-road track in the Alps at 3,009 metres and had taken place every single year from 1966 until 2023. AdventureBikeRider.com shares this. The story behind the original rally goes something like this. Two bikers, Italian Mario Artusi and Brit Harry Lewis, had been arguing the toss over how high they could ride a motorcycle in the Italian Alps. Harry, a director of the publication The Motorcycle, claimed the location of the highest to be 2,758 meter crest of the Stelvio, while Mario, a member of the Turin BMW Club and therefore a man with local knowledge, suggested it was more likely to be the Col de Somelia at 3,000 meters. The difference being the Stelvio was all tarmac, and the Col de Somelia was mostly unpaved. The Italian argument won the day. So, from 1967, an informal gathering, that's the important thing, an informal gathering of the adventure riding clans was born. So this is steeped in about 60 years of history. So this is an email from, I think, one of the key organizers of the Stella Alpina. This is on their website. Friends and fellow motorcyclists, warm greetings to you all. I regret to have to communicate that contrary to what is known to date, the motorcycle trip to the mountains, Stella Alpina, a classic meeting between two-wheeled enthusiasts on the second Sunday of July, has been cancelled. This was cancelled at fairly short notice, back in 2024, the summer of. And in essence, the reason being now, the powers that be, the authorities, don't want this event going ahead unless someone actually takes responsibility for people's health and safety. And if no one's willing to do that, to step up and say, right, I'll be responsible, this is being run through a business now, everyone's paying their price, paying their fee to join, so we can justify its existence. So if someone breaks their leg or something like that, we'll make sure that we are liable for that. The authorities said, look, if no one's willing to do that, that's it, it's over. No one was willing to do that. Therefore, the event is over. It's done. The last one that happened is 2023. So I was doing a bit of digging, having a look at some of the photos. The first photos that they've got on the website from 1981. Take a look at some of these as I just flick through them. Ice that looks like it's probably 9 feet tall. A mixture of Japanese bikes, I think a couple of Triumphs, some of the, of course, BMW Boxsters. The amount of snow and the harshness of the conditions that they'd ride through. It's always the way, isn't it? When you look through these pictures, I wish I'd have tried to do this when the event was still going on. I think I may try and see if this unofficial event is still happening, because this looks like an incredible event. Of course, it's unofficial. So if you go up here, your bike breaks, you break your leg, something happens. Look, you're on your own. You're of course going to be around your fellow riders, but the local authorities are not going to take kindly to someone doing this rally, breaking their leg, because the authorities would just say, look, we told you so. We told you you're not allowed to do it. So you're going to have to be a brave, hardy soul to do this. But it looks incredible. I hope it can carry on in some way, because we need these kind of things. It's all of the history that you just don't want to lose. Thank you for sharing that. And Martin, if you could email me, hi@choosedetdobbs.com with the details of the unofficial one, I'd love to hear from that. On now, the bike that never quite found its identity, from John. Freddie, it's 2001 GSX 750 Inazuma. Not easy to find in the UK these days, though I did purchase this one very reasonably, allowing latitude for a little embellishing. Engine acknowledged as excellent, though feisty. It only has one rider mode, and that is pay attention. John, I've never come across these to the best of my knowledge. This is another rare one. Inazuma, 750cc from Suzuki, made from 1997 to 2002. 201 kilos, 85 horsepower. This is a good looking beast. And John, the exact picture of your bike, it's got that beautiful classic, I mean, I say retro look, but really being 23 years old or so, you know, these are right on the border of the retro bikes and the all out classics now, but very nice classical lines, elegant, muscular looking bike. Made for just 5 years, and it never took off, interestingly, this bike, because of the Suzuki Bandit. Not the 1200, but the 600cc Suzuki Bandit. See, the problem was, the Suzuki Bandit was a 600cc bike with 77 horsepower. I used to own one of these. It was quite a fast bike. But this Inazuma only had 8 horsepower more than the 600cc Bandit that was already a really well-established, good-selling bike. So it was seen that the Inazuma was just too close to the 600cc Bandit. It never found its identity in Suzuki's lineup, and that's why the Suzuki Bandit arrived way before the Inazuma and carried on way after the Inazuma. The Inazuma was a flash in the pan. It came and went because it was just not marketed correctly. It was too close to the Bandit. What does that mean, though? What can we find in the market, Facebook Marketplace? Can we get a bargain, or is the relative rarity an indication that this is going to be expensive? This is pleasing. 1999 Suzuki Inazuma. £2,000 listed a month ago. 26,600 miles on the clock. It's got an MOT, its annual check, until April. Recently been serviced. New clutch plates, chains, sprockets in the last year. Excellent condition. £2,000. Just been reduced. 1,900 quid. That's a really good looking bike. I think this is better looking. I think it's better looking than the 600 Bandit. I'm sure the engine will also be better. That is a good solid buy and something that's rare. It's got a little bit of extra conversation piece as well. John, thank you. Bike of the week. I'm going all out here for bike of the week. I'm not going to lie to you, this is an expensive bike of the week. Very expensive. But the reason I'm giving this as bike of the week is because a few days ago I went out with Alex from the Classic Motorcycle channel and the Moto Filmer channel, and we took out two Triumph Scrambler 1200 XEs for a day of off-roading in the depths of winter. I fully expected to go out there for this ride thinking this is the most ridiculous bike. 1200cc, 230 kilos, come on, this is madness. And it is madness. But just because something's mad and makes no sense doesn't mean it's not fun and doesn't mean it's not desirable. At its core, it's just a really fun bike that makes you feel amazing. I was surprised at how much I liked it, and that's why I have to put this as bike of the week. I'll start off with the basics. The Scrambler 1200 XC, launched in 2018, 1200cc, 89 horsepower, 230 kilos. The one I want to show you now. Let's put it up now. Here's the picture. £13,600 when it came out in 2021. It is the range topper from 3 years ago, the Steve McQueen Special Edition. Only 1,000 of these bikes were ever made, and they were made with the blessing of McQueen's estate. So every single one of these 1,000 Triumph Scrambler 1200 XE Steve McQueen Specials gets a certificate of authenticity signed by Chad McQueen, that's Steve McQueen's son, who's sadly no longer with us, and Nick Blore, the owner of Triumph Motorcycles. I'll be honest, I did notice. Let's see if I can find one for sale here somewhere. Got it. And I've just noticed this when I was researching. It was £13,600 in 2021, 3 years ago. Now, if you want one, this is the only one I could find, bear in mind, the only one. It's £14,750. It's actually £1,150 more than when it was new. But it's got 689 miles on the clock. It's been listed 3 months ago. It's really nice. I mean, of course, it's a huge amount of money. But if you're looking for something special and unique, I think this is one of the more desirable special edition motorcycles that Triumph make. This would be really high on my dream list if I could just pick any bike, forget about money. I think that looks just such a good looking bike. I will wrap up the video with going even further. If you want an even more rare bike produced in even smaller numbers, I'm carrying on with the theme here of the Triumph Scrambler 1200 XC. Not Steve McQueen, I'm going for the Bond edition. This is from the most recent Bond film, No Time to Die, where they had that brilliant chase. And they made Triumph the first ever collaboration with James Bond to make a bike. Just 250 Scrambler James Bond editions were made. 250. And I thought there is no way I'm going to be able to find one of these bikes. I mean, just look at how good it looks. We're talking dream level stuff for some people, depending who you are. So forget about the money. Just worry about how, my Lord, how good that looks. Can you find one now? Is it even possible? I've done my homework, don't worry. You can find one. It's not just anyone that I've found here. This is incredible. If you've got deep pockets, if I had deep pockets, I would buy this immediately. I wouldn't even hesitate. This is so special. What a way to wrap the video. Reading the classified here from Car and Classic. If you ever want one of these, this is it. 2024 Triumph 1200 Scrambler Bond. Owned, and signed by Daniel Craig, by James Bond himself, for sale. It has 1 mile on the clock. Here we offer this unique opportunity to own the actual Triumph 1200 Scrambler James Bond Limited Edition that was gifted to Daniel Craig by Triumph. The bike was recently auctioned by Bonhams Stafford Classic Bike Show from Daniel Craig's 007 personal collection, with the proceeds going to the Royal National Lifeguard Institute. The Bond bike is numbered 003. F250. You'd have thought Daniel Craig would get 007, but was given to Daniel Craig by Triumph and was offered for sale by him, with all the proceeds going to the Royal National Lifeboat Institution, a cause close to Daniel's heart. Triumph Motorcycles has partnered, or had the official partnership with 007 and Eon Productions, and the role that the motorcycle had within the No Time to Die film. I could go on and on, but if you want it, it's £36,000 asking price. Oh, dream garage stuff for me. I can't tell you how much I would love to own that bike if I had the means to afford it. I'll wrap it up there. Thank you, everyone, so much for continuing to get in touch and being active in this weekly podcast. I really appreciate it. I hope you all have a fantastic week, and I'll see you all in the next one.